Jared, the GM, on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, live today out at Clyde's on Church, where they got all the games going. They got the wings smoked. They got the beers ready for the national championship game. But you heard it right there, Floyd Reese, miraculously on some level, on to the second round of the Tennessee Titans against the New England Patriots. It wasn't looking good at halftime. We all know that. But the Titans win. The coach keeps his job. The owner comes out, says the coach will keep his job, and so much more. We've got a loaded show today. Let's go ahead and open up those phone lines. Reaction on the Titans win, 615-737-1025. Floyd Reese, the floor is yours to start today from Clyde's on Church. Your thoughts on the Titans comeback win Saturday?
You know what? I thought it was a great game. I mean, so many areas, so many of those areas you don't talk about much. Toughness and the ability to focus, the ability to not get down when things were not looking good. I mean, they were able to hang in there. They were able to find a way. And I mean, granted, some of those ways were a little bit unique. Marcus's pass to himself, you won't see much of in the rest of your football career. I don't know. I don't care how many games you watch, but you saw it once, and that's all that matters to us. I mean, I thought the offensive line was better. I thought Derrick Henry was outstanding. I thought Marcus was really, really good. The receivers started off a little bit slow, then picked it up at the end.
No, they stunk. Decker had the
kid. Excuse me.
The floor is yours.
The defense was started off slow, made some mistakes, particularly in coverage. And then turned around and when they had to was when we fumbled a punt and had to stop them in what should have been a sure field goal situation. They missed a field goal, which may have been the series of the whole game. But I thought they were outstanding when they had to be. So, I mean, I don't care. I mean, I thought the coaching was good. I thought the playing was good. You know, even though we started off slow, I mean, there are a lot of people that, you know, if we don't get off to a good start, we're not baloney. I mean, we hung in there till the very end, and I thought it was just an incredible effort in a hostile environment. Now, I mean, that place is not an easy place to play, cold and loud and all of that. But they hung in there. I was proud as I could be of them.
I mean, I'll say this: I got two big takes. Number one, you're better than the Chiefs. You're a better football team. And I thought the first half, I know Kansas City got up 21-3, but I felt like that was you screwing up more than it was Kansas City playing great ball. I mean, Kansas City would get the ball on first down. They'd throw it to a guy wide open for 23 yards. Every guy was wide open. They were screwing it up. Decker's dropping passes. Corey Davis again's not running the right routes. I mean, the Titans just screwed up the first half. But they're so much better than the Chiefs, especially when Kelsey goes out of the game, which was a huge part of it. But they're so much better than the Chiefs that they dominated them in the second half. And I go to Mariota. Like, I look at Mariota, and I say to myself, that was a Steve McNair game. The stats were not pretty for Mariota. You know, 205 through the air. You know, if you're playing fantasy football, that's probably not good enough. But we had the postgame show with Chris Sanders, and I said to Chris Sanders, I said, was that a Steve McNair performance? And he said yes, because everybody on that team believed that Marcus was going to put them over the top. And he did at the end by blocking for Derrick Henry. I mean, to Marcus, I did a radio hit earlier this morning. You could not have asked for more from Marcus Mariota in this game. People want to say that Marcus Mariota has regressed. Well, you know, Mariota's regressed here in year three, and he's got – how has he regressed? I mean, to me, that was a franchise quarterback on Saturday night. He did everything it took to win the game. That's a franchise quarterback.
Well, the absolute biggest event of the whole night was when Kelsey got knocked out. I mean, when he left the game completely turned around, completely changed. We had no hopes of covering him. We couldn't cover him with a safety. We couldn't cover him with a linebacker. Our zone coverage was awful. I mean, he was going to gash us, and had he continued to play, it would have been one of those 12 receptions for 160 yards kind of day. So when he left the game, I think it completely changed it. Now all we had to worry about was the running game and the one receiver, which I thought we did a great job of. I mean, I can't even remember. I've got it in my notes someplace. In the second half, he had like 55 yards or whatever it was, you know. So he was it completely changed them and their game plan. And I think that was, you know, as big an event as we could hope for.
Well,
you know what? That's football. But I mean, that happens every week.
But we talked about the big three all week of Kelce, Hill, and Hunt. Well, for one, Kelce got knocked out of the game. You're right. They could not stop Kelce. And I think I agree with you. If Kelce plays, like those third down and nines that Alex Smith couldn't find anybody, or they dropped the ball, or we know where the ball's going to go on third down and nine if Kelsey's in the game. And they tried Jayon Brown on him, couldn't cover him. They tried
Cyprian was in zone coverage, jumped the guy in front of him. They complete the ball for about 30 to behind him. I mean, and then we get, I think it's Woodyard or Williamson.
It was Williamson for the touchdown.
Yeah, no prayer, no chance.
But at least Cyprian knocked him out of the game. I mean, you know, Cyprian, and you don't want to like sound, you know, I mean, you're not rooting for injuries. But if anything, Cyprian knocked him out of the game, which saved your bacon. And then Cyprian hit the guy at the end. Cyprian's done nothing right all year and finally does a couple of things. But you're right, they couldn't cover him. Then they don't give the ball to Hunt. And Hill can't catch the ball. So it really helps you. I mean, if Gronk decides to not catch the ball this week against the Patriots, like Tyreek Hill decided to not catch the ball for the Chiefs, maybe you do have a shot.
Maybe. I think it changes when the tight end leaves. It changes your game plan so much. So now it's not, you know, he's the extra guy always. And, again, we're going to face this weekend. You know, they've got a couple of thousand. The tight end's a 1,000-yarder and the receiver's a 1,000-yarder. The running back is not 1,000 yards yet, but he's approaching it. So it's kind of the same scenario. When that tight end is out of the game, then all of a sudden you can – that we were talking about last week, what are we going to do with the safety? When the tight end's out of the game, now the safety can get over the top. Now the safety can double that guy. Now we can eliminate him, take him out of the game, put the other safety down in the box. Now we're in good shape. Okay, good. Let's go play, which is what we did. But I mean, to top it off, in spite of all that, the defense just really, really played well. I mean, there were two or three times where they were in deep doo-doo, and they were able to pull themselves out. So, I mean, I give them a ton of credit.
Especially on that last drive. The Titans had stupidly used their timeouts, so they were at the point where they really couldn't stop the clock. If Kansas City had gotten into field goal range, and I think Kansas City was driving and it was third down, and Chris Sanders couldn't even look at the TV because he knew what that meant, and somehow they got two stops on Alex Smith in a row. The other thing I have to say to you, let me clear my throat here for a second.
Yes.
Let the big dog eat.
Oh, he played good.
Derrick Henry.
I was so happy for him. I mean, that's just the kind of game that he needed. I mean, it was perfect for him. I thought, you know, again, I thought the offensive line refocused, rededicated themselves to run blocking. But he ran with more body lean than he has any other game that I've seen him. You know, he's been, if you look at DeMarco is kind of an upright Eric Dickerson kind of runner. And I think Derek was kind of leaning that way. This game, he got his body lean back. I mean, he was roaring up in there, and they were hitting him at the line of scrimmage. He was still gaining four. So I thought it was good. I thought they did a really good job of calling a couple of different plays. The 35-yard touchdown pass was a play that they haven't run and obviously worked to perfection. And then the last play of the game, the one that Marcus got his block, his incredible block on.
Awesome.
I mean, that was great. But that was a great block. It's funny because you see Marcus go out there throwing the ball around, and people getting excited when he's throwing, or even when he's running, you know. But after that block, I mean, there were 10 or 12 guys on the sideline in his face, high-fiving, you know, loving on him. And that's the McNair part of that game, I think, because they used to love him for doing the same type things.
And did you see the guys who it was that jumped onto the field? The ref had to get him off the field But yeah, did you see the guys?
Were excited.
It was the defensive leaders. Yeah. It was Morgan and Arakpo and the defensive guys, Woodyard, that were all out there when Marcus made the block. I tweeted this stat out Saturday night. Eddie George's statistically best career playoff game was at Indianapolis on January 16th, 2000. 26 for 162 and a touchdown. Derrick Henry, 23 for 156 and a touchdown. These are almost identical stat lines to Eddie George's best game. Like I said, let the big dog eat.
He really needed that game. It makes me feel so – I feel so much better about him. Not that nobody gives up on a young running back with that much talent, but you just kept hoping, you know, when are you going to show me? When are you going to give me? He did it.
I think I believed. I think if you had to say who believed in the big dog over here on this show, I think you'd have to look at me. Because I had the theory this week, or last week, I said, Floyd, he was so bad against Jacksonville, he's going to be super motivated and play a great game against Kansas City, and you shot that down like that. So I felt at least a little validated when that came up. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in with your reaction. We still got a little bit more talking to do before we get to the phones because we have got to talk about this situation surrounding the head coach, which, by the way, was just a terrible, terrible, terrible look on the organization for everything good they did on the football field. A terrible look for the organization over the weekend with the coach. We'll get to that and your phone calls. We are live out at Clyde's on Church for the national championship game tonight. Come on out to Clyde's on Church with a watch party with half off their signature smoked wings and $14 buckets of Miller Lite, Miller High Life, Coors Light, and Coors Banquet. And when you're here, sign up for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles, Floyd. The Eagles at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, March 24th. Clyde's is located at 1700 Church Street in Nashville. 615-737-1025. I am proud, Floyd Reese, to tell people about a new partner of ours that's authentically American. When you're looking at your clothes and what you and your employees are wearing, so business owners, this is for you. When you're looking at what your employees are wearing, are you proud of what they're wearing? Because you should be if you have Authentically American. Authentically American is a company here located in Nashville that is all about America, and it's helping create jobs in our great country. It's a veteran-owned company passionate about creating jobs here and making the best branded apparel you can find. So again, if you're a business owner and you want a high-quality product that is made in America, your employees will be proud to wear. Outfit your employees with Authentically American. High-quality tees, polos, hats, jackets, Oxford, socks, vests, and much more. And they're made where we all play in the USA. So whether you have 5 employees or you're a Fortune 500 company, Authentically American has you covered. They have low to no minimums. So the small business owner, once again, can support made in the USA. As I like to say, I wear Authentically American or I wear nothing at all. There you go. Authentically American donates 10% of all sales to veterans charities and American heroes. They are all about things that are made in the United States. That is Authentically American, and they are so American that it's authenticallyamerican.us. Check them out today if you want to be proud of where your apparel is made, authenticallyamerican.us. That's Authentically American. Jared the GM live from Clyde's on Church. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
Take Mike Mularkey off the unemployment line if, in fact, he was about to go there with a loss today.
And the people that had him on the unemployment watch should be researched carefully, too, after the job he's done.
You know, we talk about him allegedly being on the hot seat, Mike Mularkey. You know, it wasn't long ago. It was 3 seasons ago. They won 3 games.
Well, all those seats are hot down there.
2015, they won 3 games. They went 9-7, 9-7. They make the playoffs.
You ain't kidding, man.
He said, I had to totally change the culture, get rid of some players who weren't on board, even some coaches, upgrade the facilities.
You got to give John Robinson credit, too, the general manager. He's done a great job.
They're
He's coming
talented
here.
Team. We said it in the open. They are a scary, talented team if you're their opponent.
So that was kind of the discussion around the game. That was at the end of the game on ESPN's broadcast. But, I mean, it was Saturday. The Mike Mularkey rumors were fired up once again, just like they were the Sunday before that. We addressed it on NFL Football Sunday. And all three of us, Chris Sanders, myself, and you, GM Floyd Reese, Jared and the GM, live out at Clyde's on Church, We all thought the idea of the Titans firing Mike Mularkey was ridiculous. You went as far as calling the reports that Mike would be fired with a loss. You went as far as calling them fake news.
Yes.
So then the Titans win the game. Well, you definitely can't fire the Titans. Then Amy Adams Strunk comes out with a statement saying that Mike is the coach going forward, which we all knew when they won the game. I mean, you heard McDonough right there. But I thought this was really bad. I thought the way this played out, this never should have gotten to this point. Number one, Mike Mularkey's done a great job as coach of the Titans. I don't care if they had lost to Jacksonville and not made the playoffs. I don't know how you can argue with 16 or what it is, 17 wins over 2 years after how bad you had been before that. That to me, there wasn't even a discussion. But for them to then beat the Jags and there still be a discussion and nobody come out and quash the rumors ahead of time was just a really bad play on the part of the organization. And I don't know if it's the GM's fault. I don't know if it's some of the individual owners' faults of that ownership group. I don't know what to tell you, but it was a really bad look for what was the best day of Titan football in this decade.
See, I don't agree with any of that. I mean,
you're going to blame the media.
Absolutely.
It's not the media's fault.
They made it up. They made it up, and we bit into it like dummies.
That's not what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I don't care what you're hearing. They made it up, and we bit into it like dummies, and we got, oh, yeah, you hear what so-and-so said. What? I mean, who are they going to know? They don't know anybody. They got no information. But we jump right on the bandwagon just like everybody else. Yeah, okay. Well, then you find out that indeed it is fake news and that we were wrong and that Gruden is right. All those guys ought to be researched too.
No. Okay. No, we don't know that we were wrong. They won the game. You can't fire the coach after you win the game. Mike bit into it. If you want to call us dummies for biting into it, Mike bit into it. This was Mike.
He did.
This was Mike after the game at the podium.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to my family. So when it has an effect on my family, it has an effect on me. So, yeah, I'd say it had a big effect on me.
Did you feel you were secure no matter what happened this game?
No, I haven't had any support to say that I was. So, no, I just assumed, the worst.
So that was Mike Mularkey after.
And he bit in it, too. I agree 1,000%. And he should have never. That you've heard me talk about rabbit ears. There's rabbit ears for you. You know, forget all that. It's they don't know anything. They don't know a thing. So why do you listen to it?
Because they know what they're being told. And they're being told something by somebody.
By somebody that what? That knows nothing. How can you believe you know? It's like people talking about last week, Belichick and Kraft. Not an ounce of information comes out of that organization. Zero. 0.0. But yet we think some writer, someplace, all of a sudden has these dozens of sources that have all of this information, just like these guys. What comes out of this organization? We're right here in town. I'm best friends with everybody over there. I know nothing. So you think some guy in New York knows anything? He knows nothing.
The Network Insider for the league-owned network. You can't just report something like that if you don't have...
If you're responsible, you can.
I'm playing devil's advocate here because I didn't think that they would fire Mike only because it would have been the dumb thing to do to fire Mike. It would have been stupid, and it made no sense to fire Mike. But I'm just telling you, I don't think Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter and all those guys are reporting stuff if it's not true.
Okay.
And I know where you sit on this, and I get it. But everybody that I've talked to who's connected into that organization... On the outside.
And who is that? Who would that be?
Easy. But everybody I've talked
who?
To seemed to think that there was
anybody
there was
to.
A sense of truth to what they were hearing. And obviously Mike believed it. Mike believed it. You're gonna say
he
everybody's
no,
in
no, no, no,
is he Mike not bit, in is he not in that organization?
Mike bit into it. I agree. But Mike bit in. Now you heard what Amy said. You know what J. Rob would have said. But Mike, for whatever reason, and to be honest with you, I don't think it's Mike. As much as it was his family, and that's what he said. He said, it's bothering my family, so it's bothering me. Well, they're sitting at home, and they're turning the TV on, and they're listening to all that. And you would think, I mean, she's been in the league long enough to know that they don't know anything. Why would you ever believe any of that? But, I mean, it obviously got to her, and I think that got to Mike. But I don't, I mean, we need to be smarter than that. I mean, we need to be smarter than to bite into all that stuff, because the chances of that being credible, how many stories have we had come out of those sources about ownership and who's selling and they're gone? And I mean, all of the stuff we've heard for years, and yet every time one of those guys open their mouth, everybody jumps on it like, yeah, yeah, did you hear what they said in New York? Give me a break.
So if they had lost, if they had gotten run out of Kansas City as it was looking like at halftime, you think Mike would still be the coach?
What
right
did
now?
I say on Saturday?
Fake news.
0.0. And that was what it was. 0.0.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. The Mike story is now on the table. And I don't think that that Mike story is over with either. I think there is a lot more to that. 615-737-1025. Jerry is going to kick us off today live out of Clyde's on Church for the national championship game. Jerry, you go ahead.
Hey, I'm happy for the Titans. I like the Titans, but I'm a Chiefs fan from about 40 years ago. And I tell you, when they ran Hunt 7 times a game, 20 times a game, the Chiefs were 7-0. And it's just back to the old Andy Reid BS. Yesterday, they run him 11 times, and they lose. I wish that somebody started a rumor that the Chiefs, we know Alex Smith's not coming back. They're not going to sign him. But I'd love to see Andy Reid on the road. I didn't want him in the first place. He'll get him to the playoffs, and we hear all this accolade to how wonderful he got, won the division the last 2 years. But it's the same old deal as John Fox and Fisher and the rest of them. We need something new there, and I'm, like I said, I'm happy for the Titans, but just really just disappointed.
Thanks, Jerry. I mean, that's the national story, kind of, is everyone knocking Andy Reid and Alex Smith. More so Andy Reid than Alex Smith. But that's kind of the national perspective. As much as we look at what the Titans did, I think the Titans won this game more than the Chiefs lost it. But again, that is the national perception that it's all Andy Reid's fault.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. And this is what happens, I think, after you lose a few of these. And that's the scary part. That's why we talked about pressure on Andy before the game. I mean, there was more pressure because Andy has a little bit of a history of doing this. And people bite into that, and the accident becomes the, you know, this is kind of a trend, becomes the truth. And so now the truth is about him is that, hey, you know, they're going to struggle to win playoff games. So, I mean, you know, I don't know why. I don't know what to – I know losing the tight end was a crushing blow. And I know that that had to affect what they wanted to do. I mean, you look at the quarterback in the first half, the quarterback was, you know, threw for 2 touches and whatever, however many yards he threw for. Second half, I mean, he didn't even get a sniff. And I think that's the ramifications of losing the tight end.
So we'll get back to your calls in the game. Mike Mularkey, by the way, has come out and he has said, you know, I guess this team came out and had a statement. Mike came out and he had a response to that statement. We'll get to that at some point. Plus, the one place that I think you really do have to give credit to Mike Mularkey. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM live from Clyde's on Church for tonight's national championship game right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It was nice. You know, what I really, really want is just about our franchise and our organization, our team to be talked about. That's the gist of it. That's not how you want to open up a press conference. You want to talk about just beating a really good football team in their backyard, and that's what I want. That's what I really want to be about is what's happening good for our franchise.
That was Titans coach Mike Mularkey yesterday at his conference call. He just wants people to talk about the team. That's what he's frustrated about.
And talking what's happening good.
By the way, I think there's a little truth to what Mike said, not 100% truth there to what Mike said about getting the statement from Amy Adams drunk. I mean, I think Mike's word when he was asked about those reports was he said it was ridiculous, and not ridiculous that they were reporting it. I think Mike said it was ridiculous because the idea that his job could be in jeopardy after everything that he's done here for the team could be ridiculous. And I agree with Mike in that regard. But the Titans ownership, they don't know what they're doing in something like this. And I'm not knocking them, but They should have come out after the Jacksonville game, and they should have had at least something to say, Mike is the coach.
It's not their job to respond to fake news.
Well, then they did it yesterday.
Their job.
They did it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, finally, because Mike said something about it. It had finally gotten to Mike's family, which affected Mike, which Mike came out and said. So they said, okay, I guess we got to. I mean, I don't see. I disagree with the fact that every time somebody says something about you, you got to have some kind of a press release or a press conference to straighten out BS. I mean, if people want to be on the side of BS, go for it. Enjoy it. We'll see you. Truth is over here someplace.
I'm just telling you what I'm hearing from everybody else, and that's that you're overlooking the validity of the chances that he was fired had they lost. I think it's ridiculous to think that they were going to fire Mike. I mean, and I've been on record as saying that even stronger than you have about saying how stupid it would be to fire Mike. But Amy Adams Strunk released a statement yesterday saying, yada, 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 no one has been a bigger supporter of Mike Mularkey than I have over the last two-plus seasons. Mike and John have changed the culture of our team and organization, and I am so happy we have been able to bring success on the field to our fans. Just to eliminate any distractions moving forward, Mike Mularkey is our head coach and will be our head coach moving forward. In case we didn't know that they were moving forward, they said it twice. We still have work to be done, including this week, but I am looking forward to the journey. Yada, yada, yada.
Does that sound like somebody was on the fence?
Well, of course they're not on the fence after they won.
Had nothing to do with it.
I mean, come on, it's like making your game pick after you win. Well, I picked the Titans.
Helps.
Let's go to the phones. Live at Clyde's on Church. Jared of the GM. Drew is up next here on the show. Thank you for calling. What's up, Drew?
Well, good afternoon, fellas. Jared, listen to the GM now. Because in that statement, she did not say anything about contract extension. But with I got a take on the game this past Saturday. You know that, that Derrick Henry ran for that last run was 22 yards. His number is 22. And the last of the final score was 22. So I just wanted to get that, see what you think about that.
Cool. Let's go to...
A lot of 22s. Yeah. I like it.
Let's go to Zach, who's up next here on the show. Thank you. Oh, speaking of which, by the way, never mind. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, appreciate you having me on. I was going to touch on that coach situation real quick and just give you my thought. How much do you think it might be that... the higher ups in the office, they have that in their back pocket, having the fear, the coach having that fear of, I could get let go if I lose, so it motivates them more to win. But then they get put in a spot where somebody that, it could be anybody, throws it out there, coach is going to get fired if they lose. Now you have it out on the table, but then the Titans organization, like Amy, they're in a spot, because if she comes out and says, he's our coach for sure no matter what, do you think that they're afraid that he might take the game a little, even just a little less serious, thinking he's got his job no matter what at the end of the game? Maybe that's why the front office held back from coming out and making a statement saying, yeah, he's our coach going forward. We're looking into an extension. They're not going to say anything like that because of the fear he might not take the game as serious as he might, thinking he has that guaranteed job security.
Zach, thank you for the call. I mean, I think every coach in the NFL probably takes playoff games really seriously.
Oh,
Floyd.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Oh, no.
I mean, but
you're exactly right.
Okay, this is what I think. This is what I think you think happened, and then I'll tell you what I'm because I'm on the fence. I think you might be right, but I also think you might be a little wrong. I think you think that John Robinson and Amy Adams Strunk knew Mike Mularkey was their coach, but you don't need to tell your wife every day that she's still your wife. And so there was this sense of, at the end of the year, they'll address a contract situation or something like that, but why respond to news when there is no news to respond to? Because there is no coach to be fired. And why go on record and say something when you're not on record as saying the other thing? So I get that. And maybe they just thought, well, we're not going to respond to those rumors because we don't worry about rumors and we're going to worry about winning football games. And then it got to a point after the game yesterday where Mike is responding to the rumors, and then they had to respond because Mike responded, even though deep down inside they don't want to respond to any rumors or any speculation or anything that anybody says, because it does give some sort of validity to those rumors. That's the line that you're coming from, right?
Well, I mean, there's, again, it's not the organization's responsibility to respond to fake news. That's not their responsibility.
Now,
and if you do that every time somebody says something about when they went through the all the team's going to be sold. I mean, that came from wherever it came from. I can't even remember now and don't even really care. But I mean, that was all BS, fake news, all nothing. But I mean, we spent hours and hours talking about that. I mean, I don't know how many people in New York know what's going on in Nashville, Tennessee, with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, I would say there are a lot fewer than you think there are.
Well, a lot of people in Nashville, though, were hearing a lot of similar things, like Corey Curtis from News 2. And I don't think, like, I mean, first of all, I don't think Corey, like, I think Corey likes Mike. And I don't think Corey wants to have to report on stories about, now he's doing it because it's his job, but doesn't want to have to report on stories about Mike being fired because, again, I think that they like each other. But Corey heard those same things. You know, other people I've talked to, and he responded to them. Have heard some of those same things. So I'm just telling you where I sit is I think there's a lot of truth to your theory, and I think there's a little truth that there's something going on. There's something from one of these owners, whether it's, you know, one of these minority owners that owns 11%, or something like that. I think one of those guys is talking to Rappaport. And I think one of those guys wants Mike out. And they want Josh McDaniels in. And that's where all that came from. I'm convinced that's where it came from. And we'll never really know because we don't know what would have happened if they had lost. And you can say it's fake news and I think there's a chance you're right. But we don't know because they didn't lose.
If you were betting, which way would you bet?
Mike stays even if they had lost.
I mean, how you have to be a brain surgeon to figure that out?
Well, it's because it's the only thing that makes sense.
You don't have to be magna cum laude to figure that out. I mean, we act like that's some kind of an act of science. Look at this thesis on why Mike would have stayed.
But on Saturday morning for the malarkey camp, to be feeling like Mike was on thin ice, I don't know.
I mean, could it have gotten to his family? I think he said that. Did he not?
Yes.
It got to my family, therefore it got to me. Well, then it was time to react to it. But, I mean, prior to that, I mean, now they will know that, hey, forget all that stuff. Don't listen to all that stuff. Ignore it. And we'll continue right on doing our business. But it's the first time it's happened, and I guess they ended up having to respond, and here we are.
Michael's up next on Mike Malarkey. Thank you for calling. What's up, Michael?
Hey, the thing is, this is for the GM, not for you. So, Jared, don't cut me off, all right? The biggest thing that you look at Mike Malarkey and what he's done within the last three seasons for this team is grown it to the point to where you actually have the fan base coming back online. They're actually getting interested. They're actually getting fascinated. Now, let me start by saying I am a diehard Denver Broncos fan, okay? When they brought Josh McDaniels in, and at the same time he wanted to get rid of Jay Cutler because he didn't like him, that's what he messed up on. So any other team that takes Josh McDaniels, they better understand he's going to try and manipulate what he wants to do to try and get either his kind of quarterback or his kind of running back. And I tell you what, the man is going to fail again. Now,
Michael, you're rambling too much. Thank you for the call. Okay, so he said don't cut me off, but then I tried to let him go for as long as I could before it just got to rambling about the Broncos. Josh McDaniels ain't coming, folks. I mean, that I think if there's anything we learned, Floyd, Mike's going to be the coach. Now, I think Mike was always going to be the coach, and I know you think Mike was always going to be the coach. But if there's any question here, at least there's clarity that Mike's going to be the coach. And the other thing I do want to get to about Mike, before as we talk about Mike Mularkey and, you know, the this, that, I mean, something I really wonder about Titan fans, and I'll get to that coming up next, about the game on Saturday and how it relates to Mike. We're live again at Clyde's on Church. If you're looking for a place to watch the national championship game, come on out to our official national championship game watch party. Half off their signature smoked wings, $14 buckets of Miller Lite, Miller High Life, Coors Light, and Coors Banquet. And you can sign up to win just when you walk in. Sign up to win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, March 24th. Clyde's is located at 1700 Church Street in Nashville. Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game.
Down 21-3 at the half. No one's giving you a chance. What's the secret today?
You got to believe. I know it sounds cliche, but you got to believe. The men in the locker room, it's a bunch of underrated savages in that locker room. And we always get no credit. They always think we cannot do anything, but we got the job done today. Thanks, Coach Mularkey and the staff, for believing in us, sticking to the game plan, and coming back for this victorious, for this win. It was a great feeling.
That was Brian Arakpo after the game. Jared of the GM live out at Clyde's on Church. Underrated savages. But you heard what Arakpo said. We always believed, and you got to thank Coach Mularkey and the coaches for sticking to the game plan. I don't know how much the Mularkey haters, as Joe Rex wrote from the Tennessean, calls them the Malarkers. How much credit are they giving Mike for the fact that down 21-3, this team didn't lose their composure? They didn't get away from the game plan. You know, a lot of teams would come out of the halftime down 21-3 and feel like they have to sling it around to catch up. And what the Titans do, they go run a 9-minute drive and take a bunch of time off the clock, running the ball and sticking to the game plan. And Mike Mularkey and that team never lost their composure. And I feel like if you're going to bash Mike for a lot of the reasons that you guys do, I think you have to give him an incredible amount of credit for this team sticking through this football game and in the end finding a way to win.
Well, I mean, all those people that have criticized Mike every time we've lost, for whatever reason, this is the biggest win we've had in, what, 10 years?
This decade, for sure.
10 years, the biggest win we've ever had. So I would guess he deserves a mountain of praise, considering all the criticism we've heaped on him for the last 2 years.
And what's the biggest thing they complain about when it comes to complaining about Mike as coach? Marcus. Oh, Marcus has regressed. Marcus is no good. Marcus should be like Jared Goff. Marcus should be... Well, Marcus is playing next week and Jared Goff's not. You know why? Because Marcus took over the game. Well, would Marcus take over a game if he had a bad coach? If Marcus had really regressed as a quarterback, would Marcus have been able to take a game over against the Kansas City Chiefs? And Mike Mularkey said it, addressed it yesterday in his conference call. This team plays a lot of games right down to the wire.
You guys have had so many games go down to the wire, Mike, this year. As a coach, do you ever get used to that, or is it still anxious for you?
I don't know if you get used to it. You certainly like it to be different than that. I like that we've come out on top in the majority of them, but that's certainly not our plan of attack. But basically, with at least the philosophy of this run scheme on how we attack people, there is a possibility it's going to be those types of games. And I think that's the complementary football I've been talking about with our defense. We have the ability to win the close ones, and it's been proven.
And I think that was Mike basically saying that's why – you know, and I'm saying this as Mike, that's why we win Cleveland close, that's why we win Houston close, that's why we win Indianapolis close, and that's why we win the Chiefs close. You got to give the coach credit. I mean, to all the Mularkey haters, you got to give him some credit.
There's absolutely no doubt. And people don't understand, and we tried to explain to them, just because you beat Cleveland by only 3 points, that doesn't mean anything. But yet we want to get irate about it. Oh, God, I'm giving up on this. We beat Cleveland by 3 points, and then you take the next team. We're Indy. We only beat them by 3 points. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? That's the way this style works. And if you've got a team that is mature enough to understand that and can react to it like this team did against Kansas City, that it doesn't matter. What the score is. We know we're going to end up winning by 1, 2, 3 points. That's what we do every week. And I think you learn to live that way. And it's would you rather go out and win by 40? Yeah, sure you would. But if you can't, doesn't mean your choice is win by 40 or lose. Your choice is win by 40 or win by one or lose. Now, which one do you want? So, I mean, that's the thing. And we keep saying it and keep stressing it and keep trying to point it out, and people just refuse to listen.
Let's go back to your phones. Mike is up next here on Jared and the GM Live from Clyde Zahn Church. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Great show. Love you both. Jared, do me a favor. Take that finger you use for dumping calls and stick it somewhere real quick. I'll let you pick the spot.
Okay, but do not ramble. Just give me a good
quick
take.
Comment, quick question, not rambling. Our coach, Malarkey, he is a mediocre coach when it comes to coaching as far as play calls and all that. Where he is great is the culture. We can't get rid of that. Culture is the best thing we got going right now. That's my opinion on that. One quick question, then I'll get off. This is concise, isn't it, Jared? Munchak. If I've heard correctly, Munchak was offered to stay, but he wouldn't cut his staff. Obviously, Malarkey's got to cut Robiskie. It's a mess. And do you think Malarkey would be willing to clean house and stay himself? If y'all have any insight on that, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. You want to fire Dick LeBeau? I mean, when you say clean house, that means get rid of everything. You want to fire Dick LeBeau? Dick LeBeau, I mean, Dick LeBeau won you that game on Saturday night in the second half with whatever he did at the locker room. But, I mean, I'll let you answer the question because you're a GM.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what, I have no clue what they're talking about or what he is thinking. I mean, I'll say this now, Mike has not in the past hesitated whatsoever to fire somebody that he thinks needs to be replaced. I mean, I think we've seen that with him letting go of his very good friends, very good friends. So, I mean, I think he's in charge, and I think if he thinks that needs to be done, wherever it needs to be done, I'm sure that he'll be more than capable of doing it. Maybe not willing, maybe not wanting to, but if that's the best thing for the Titans, that's what he'll do.
I believe that whatever Mike Malarkey wants to do with his coaching staff, you have to let him do. Now, if Robiskie is that bad, and you guys know I can't stand Robiskie either, but if Robiskie comes back next year and they go 5-11, then Mike might get fired. I don't know. But to me, I think you have to let Mike do whatever he wants with his coaching staff. How can you demand that the coach fires his coaching staff when they're in the divisional playoff at New England? 2 years ago, they were the worst team in the league. The worst. Had the number one pick. Terrible. And now you're going to say, okay, yeah, you're in the divisional playoff at New England. You lose that game, and now you need to fire your whole coaching staff? Stop. Stop, stop, stop. That is a Cleveland. That is a, you know, I'm not saying Robiskie should come back. I'm just saying that is a, you know, the make him fire the guy. I don't like that. Chad is up next on Mike Malarkey here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Chad?
Hey, fellas. You do got a quick hook, so I'll make this quick, Jared. I have no doubt that the GM, Robinson, wants his own man. You know, you go to war, you want your guy. I think Floyd could attest to that. I do believe Titans are a 15-point dog. I believe they get beat pretty bad, and I believe Malarkey is gone. I really do with all my heart. And it just comes down to that.
Yeah, well, Chad, I appreciate your call. The team has come out and said that Mike's not getting fired, so I don't think that's going to happen. I think people, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Floyd, but I feel like people overrate the whole the GM has to have his own guy kind of thing in there. Because let's say John Robinson desperately wants his own guy. So he gets rid of Mike and Josh McDaniels or whoever is his guy comes in. Well, now his guy has to win or else he's gone. Whereas if the Titans go 5-11 next year after getting to the divisional round of the playoffs this year, who gets the boot? You think they're going to fire John Robinson?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't think.
So if you're John Robinson, wouldn't it be smart to keep Mike as long as you can?
Oh yeah, I mean I don't think, and I don't. I mean I. You know I understand why people are saying that about GMs and head coaches. We've seen it time and time again work out that way. But I think they have to understand that there are those situations where a GM comes in or a head coach comes in to an established either head coach or GM, and they do get along. I mean, those things do happen. And I think that people will look sometimes at this and say, well, you know, J-Rob didn't hire Mike, so he wants to hire his own guy. He may love Mike. He may think Mike's the best coach he's ever been around. I mean, I don't know that. But I think that option is always there. That's something that we have to consider instead of, you know, we're just blowing him away because he didn't hire him.
I think you do know that.
I feel comfortable. I mean, I think
You know if John likes Mike or not.
I think they have a great relationship.
John likes Mike?
I think they enjoy each other. I think they enjoy being around each other. I mean, we see them all the time at the Preds games and at the concerts and at the whatnot. So, and I know they work closely together. So, I mean, I would be shocked if there was any kind of friction there.
Gave me about 70% there. I can go with that. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM are just getting started here at Clyde's on Church. We'll get to your calls on Mike Mularkey, which, by the way, you fans that still don't like Mike Mularkey are giving him no credit. No credit for what they just accomplished, which is astounding to me. But coming up next, so I have a feeling in my heart about what the Titans did on Saturday. And I think everybody else around the country feels differently. And I want to tackle that in the game next. Plus, back to your phones. Plus, we're live out at Clyde's here on Church for the national title game. It's Jared and GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.